Hello, I'm Jonathan Sullivan, Director of Parish Ministries, Services, and Catechesis for the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. This presentation was recorded at an Adult Faith Formation Symposium on Wednesday, August 8, 2018. Sarah Yaklik is the Director of the Grotto Network. Her presentation is on millennials.
Can you hear?
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Well, it's always great when we can actually test out the tools we like to use when trying to evangelize. So this is a great opportunity to say the many ways of using digital media to walk with each other together as catechists and leaders in our parishes and throughout the diocese, but using that, using the tool of new media. So thank you for your willingness to be part of this conversation and for your willingness to really look at how we could better engage today's young people. Before I kind of dive into the importance of what I want to connect with you on, I'm curious to get a little bit of your perspective on where you are. So just by a simple raising of your hands, how many of you in the room use some type of digital media, social media, on a personal level? Just raise your hands if you use it personally. Okay. Now, how many of you use it in your ministry? Okay. How many of you would like to use it in your ministry but feel sometimes constrained on time or unaware of how to use the tools? Okay. All right. Great. Well, I think when we start talking about our great missionary mandate that Jesus gave to us before he went back to the Father, and when we think about our role as walking with young people and trying to bring them into an encounter with the risen Lord, I think we have to absolutely do that in light of where we are in today's world. It's absolutely essential. I mean, right now we see young people who believe that brunch is a spiritual experience with their friends, and it's more important to do brunch than to engage in the sacramental life of church. We have people who use technology to do everything from paying their rent to shopping to basically all types of the things that are important to them are used through tools of technology. We live in a culture where speed is more important than contemplation or truth. And so when we look at that, that's basically where we are today. And we cannot at all disengage from that or fail to see that when we're looking at how we could draw people closer. And so that's the reality by where we are. And so when you start actually thinking of the depth and the breadth of the current landscape, it's actually kind of frightening. Let me give you an example. Instagram. Instagram has 800 million users. Users on Instagram, 4.2 billion posts per day. YouTube, there are 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube per minute. And there are, that means, so 300, just hear that again, 300 hours of video are uploaded to the platform every single minute. And that's happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are people on Twitter actively engaged with tweets at a rate of 500 million tweets per day are sent. So we're talking, that's an absolute huge number. At the same time, we have seen a complete disaffiliation of engagement with the faith. So back in 1986, before all this technology was released, 10% of 18 to 29-year-olds were religiously unaffiliated. By 2016, 39% are religiously unaffiliated. And that, we're not just talking about Catholics. We're talking about young people in our country who are unaffiliated with any faith tradition. And to me, as a young person, the most frightening and the most sad statistics are today's numbers, and that being that only 14% of young adults who identify as Catholic attend Mass on a weekly basis. And so that, to me, is a sad state, but it also shows us where we are. So while we have that increased amount of digital technology and lots of noise happening, we see people falling further and further away from the gift of faith. And so what is it that, what are we supposed to do with that? Grotto Network, which Emily mentioned, she does our social media, and I'm managing the program. It's a program out of the University of Notre Dame, because Notre Dame said, let's do something that we could, where we could walk with the church. Because clearly this need, we need to address these numbers, or we're going to be seeing more and more churches closing, schools closing, and just the lack of faith. And when that happens, as we all know, the world suffers. And so we really wanted to respond. But in order to truly respond, to say, okay, if we're going to walk with young people, if we're going to try to do a new media outreach, we need to better understand where people are first. It's knowing the audience before you're able to actually engage with the audience. So we know from those numbers I mentioned earlier that there are lots of statistics, lots of engagement, online engagement. So what is it? What do we really need to know? If we want to tap into that, what I call noise, if we're going to break through that noise, how can we as church do that? What are the things that young people are looking for? And so what happened was we did some nationwide research, and we looked at the young people who were identified as Catholic. So they said, the first question we asked, are you Catholic? And if they said yes, we continued with the research with them. And of the 1,000 people who engaged with us, these are some of the things that we learned. 46% of those young people were not familiar with any of the websites that you see on that screen. So they were not familiar with Busted Halo or EWTN or Crux. 46% were not familiar at all. What's even more frightening is that when we ask them for where they go online to look for Catholic news and inspiration, over half said they do not know where to turn. Over half. They didn't even think, oh, there might be a parish or a place that I could look. They were unaware of where to go. And so that means we have a lot of work to do in adding something of beauty, the beauty of our faith, to that loud place online. And we said, okay, we know they don't know about where to go and looking for Catholic content or inspirational content. What topics were young people looking for? Because in order to respond and meet them where they're at, we have to know the basics, the entry point moments in their life for us to walk with them. And so we learned daily prayer, social justice, helping the sick, helping the poor, the daily gospel and reflection, a real big interest in miracles in the life of teaching of Pope Francis. What does it mean to seek forgiveness from our sins? What's the difference between heaven, hell, and purgatory? So these are the kinds of things that young people were saying, if you were to provide this information to me, I would take these themes and these topics as something of deep interest. Also, we also learned that relationships with family is something that young people really want more help and information on. And we all know that as people working in parishes and different places throughout your diocese, people are hungry. We have broken families, and young people are saying, yes, I need better support in how to relate with my family. Healthy eating, exercising, relationships with friends. These are some of the topics that young people were saying that this is what's on their heart and on their minds and what they're in need of. And so when you start looking at that, okay, how do we, if there young people are saying, yes, I ache for these things, how do we break through the echo chamber? How do we break through the noise? How do we break through all the places where they are online, and how do we bring the good news to them? And what we've learned through our work with Rotto Network is truly the importance of the pre-evangelization content, because that's where young people, that's where we need to reach them. I think when we want them to understand the beauty and the truth of the sacramental life or the truths of our faith, if we start there, we're starting with a language that is very much unfamiliar to them. And when we start with that language, we automatically are several steps ahead of them, and they're unable to walk with us. So if we really want to walk with young people and to reach them, we have to go back to say, okay, what are those entry points? And so with Grotto, I call it, with our team, you know, taking a page from Jesus' communication handbook. We have to start at the basics of life and where they are. But when Jesus told the parables, those beautiful stories that got us to the depths of the truth and of what his father sent him to talk about and to do, he used things like salt and light and wheat, the things that people understood and knew about and could grapple with. And from there, he pointed them to those external truths. So if we want to do that in today's world, we should model that same approach. So if young people are asking for help with family relationships and how to save money to be able to afford a house to live in, or if I need help navigating how to apply for a new job, if the church enters into those moments and is truly walking with young people and we build trust with them, they're more willing and more able to enter in to see how God is part of that picture. And so truly starting with some entry point content is absolutely essential. And I want to play a video for you that we released at Grotto, and I can show you how this is an example of a moment of encountering people in that place of their core moments of who they are. Thank you, Emily.
In 2005, I spent the majority of my time when I was deployed with Iraqi civilians. We would patrol and get invited into people's homes all the time. They would offer us food. And so my thing was to my Marines, go, sit down, have tea, share bread with them. And I could see that even though it was a time of conflict, I could do something positive. And so I think for me transitioning to civilian life, I still felt like I wanted to have a broader mission. We're in this society that is becoming more and more polarized, where people don't communicate with one another face-to-face, and they may be neighbors, but not talk to one another. And I see what we're doing as, in a very small way, as a hedge on that. It's this disarming thing to be able to be generous and give someone a cup of coffee. I think that kind of brings down people's guard. When you tell people, I'm going to create a trailside coffee service, you usually get the nod of, yeah, sure, you know, neat idea. And nobody takes you seriously that you're actually going to execute. And I became very interested. No, I was going to execute, and I was going to bring this about because I believed in it. I serve cold brew coffee on nitrogen. It helps give it kind of a head like a Guinness beer would have, and it makes it really creamy. I started serving coffee for free, and I didn't accept tips, I didn't accept donations. And this really cool community element formed around what I was doing. Morning.
Morning.
There's the first pooch.
You know, runners, bikers, people hiking their kids. They all kind of convened, and you can see them cross-pollinated in the real world. How far are you riding today?
Just up here to have
fun. Just all right.
Meet some friends that are on the trail right now on foot.
You know, they put down their devices, and they were just hanging out, enjoying a cup of coffee, looking at the scenery, and, you know, petting my mule. Everything I had done, I could always look to, and I felt like I could see a broader purpose. You know, there's this stigma, people are different, you don't understand them, and there's this resistance. The minute you sit down and literally break bread, you no longer become the other. You become, oh yeah, they were here and they seem like decent people, and now maybe I can understand a little bit more. I think there's this great commonality that we all have as humans to connect with one another, and there's power there for building community.
Sarah, can you hear us? She... Oh, okay. Maybe it's on our end. She's fine.
I was just curious, and she may have asked this, I was kind of going around. How many people were familiar with the Grotto Network before today? Anybody? All right, so it is a, I think they're doing some, and she'll continue to talk about it, they're doing some wonderful things, a lot of those different types of videos, not just cold brew coffee. All sorts of people, all places around the country. It's actually something that is a module right into eCatholic websites. So if you have an eCatholic website, your parish might have these Grotto Network videos on your website already. It's something that kind of self-populates.
Yeah.
Or side hugs, pizza side hugs on
there. No. That's not really awesome.
Okay, I think you're back.
My most sincere, were you able to see the whole video?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to engage in a little bit of a conversation around that video. So at your first view of the video, what are some ways that you think that video might be used by you at the parish level or in your ministries to connect with young people?
Talked about getting mules.
So we see in that video a young man who returns from serving our country, and he talks about he's giving witness to the need that young people are asking for. Young people are asking for mentorship. Young people are asking for community. That's absolutely essential. When we think of even what's happening now with the upcoming Synod on Young People, when young people gathered this past March in preparation for the Synod, community, mentorship were things that were amongst the top things that people were saying they're lacking of. We know that the most formidable, the most important type of community there is at the parish level, right? What we do together in the parishes, the sacramental life of the church, teaches us the great truths of our faith, and it brings us to life. It's the source and summit, as we know, of our faith, gathering together as Eucharistic people. And so, basically, those themes are drawn throughout that whole entire video. You know, young people saying, looking for connection. You know, he even said, if we sit down and break bread, we don't know each other's names. We don't know our neighbors. We don't know how to look each other in the eye. And so what Grotto could do is when we produce that, we tap into those moments. We tap into the desire for community. We could do paid advertising in the areas on things like hiking and things, cold brew coffee. I mean, I saw you guys smile when you talked about it being like Guinness, having that extra, the nitro cold brew, right? Those kinds of things are things that young people might find attractive and speak to them. So when we share that on social media, what our goal is to break open the traditional, what's called an algorithm structure, the way that social media uses the system to spread and reach people, right? And so we enter in and hit on those moments of the coffee, the hiking, and then on your parish level, you could actually take that video, and when it's shared on social media, you could use the exact imitation that you want. So you could post something that says, looking for the ultimate community experience, join us at Mass this Sunday. Or if you're hosting a talk on adult faith or young adult faith formation, you could say, you know, looking to connect with other young people, come join us and learn about this. So what we do is we try to enter into those moments of the lives of young people to help you in your parishes to be able to reach people in a more creative way. Because when we look at when the church talks about the need to utilize new media, we're using it because we really believe that it has the power to go out. We're living in a world now where we can't wait for young people to come back into our church doors. Unfortunately, I wish it were that easy because I want to see church communities full of people that look like me, that look like my age, right? I want there to be vibrancy. I want our parish communities, as do all of you, because you've dedicated your lives to that. But we can't wait for people. So using new media allows us really to go out in search of people. And I think we've heard Pope Francis talk about the field hospital. The digital highways is that field hospital, right? That young people are hurting, and young people are looking for answers, and they go online. So why not lead and be that example there? So that is one way how Grotto is trying to kind of, you know, use the entry point as a way into further conversation and discussion. How does that sit or feel? Do you think that's something that makes sense to you? Do you think it makes sense to how you might want to engage with people?
I have a couple of comments. One is, I think it would, except the next step could be really a bummer because if they come, you invite your young people in, and then you give them what is kind of drab material, and then you'll turn them away. You'll do the opposite. So I'd be disappointed by what you inspired them, but then you didn't meet their expectation. Then I had two other ideas about how this type of thing could be used. I think it's inspiring to young people because, one, young people looking for something that is to make themselves, to identify themselves as unique, different, that they have a place that is not just one of millions and billions. And the other, you know, they're looking for meaning. And this guy's example was kind of fit both of those. He's doing something that's out of the ordinary, and it had some purpose to it. So what that would do is, one, it could inspire somebody to say, yeah, I want to do something different like that too. So you can tap into that whole thing where you give somebody the option, how can you go and take this different path? And then the other is, like, actually doing that. So if you're in you've got a young adult ministry, you say, hey, let's do something different. That is not the ordinary path. And having seen that, they say, yeah, this is an opportunity.
Yeah, that you actually tapped onto a video that we recently shared. There was a video, and this is more city, this particular video. That first one was shot in Boise, Idaho. The video that I'm going to mention now, it took place, we filmed it in Chicago, but it's a young woman who wanted to have more people engage in learning about rock climbing. And so she started meetups, and she was just going to have an Instagram group, and then it ended up being actual meetups in person. And now it is huge. And you hear her in the video say things like, I've met my boyfriend here. Some of my best friends do this. People are looking for these spaces. And at first glance, you could say, wow, why is Rado sharing a video like that? We know that people want that, but don't we want to bring people into faith communities? But I think what you mentioned is exactly it, is that we need to invite young people to say, okay, if you want to make this more vibrant, then come and do that. Engage your gifts and talents with us. Because that's one thing. Young people are, millennials by nature, are agents of change. They're radical, right? We have more people enter into freelance work or to consulting work before generations in the past would have worked for 30 years and then entered that world. Now it's the reverse. That's how young people start out their careers, because they so believe that they want to see things better and they want to give their gifts. And so we as the church, how can we tap into that? And I think so I think you're spot on about how young people can engage with that content. But the other thing I think is something to note of, I think when we're thinking of how to use new media to reach young people, I think we think it's often out of reach for us, especially if we come from a small parish with limited resources. That's why we have Grotto or places like Grotto. Bishop Barron, if you want to tap into the intellectual doorway back into the Catholic faith, he is a great example. And he has podcasts and videos and a robust social media presence. There are different places online of content that you could use, so you don't have to be the content creators yourself. I think we think that we have to be the ones to create, and when we don't have time, because as parish staff or staff in different organizations, we're wearing so many hats. To think that, oh, I could also do digital media to evangelize young people, it seems completely out of reach. And so I think that the trick is to say, okay, how do we empower young people? When I worked for the Archdiocese of Washington, we started what was called digital media ministry at the parish level. And I worked with a parish in a small part of Southern Maryland that did not have many resources, but had a couple people who were just really engaged. They're big evangelizers. And we sat and we had one meeting, and from there we decided to say, let's create a digital media ministry. And they made an announcement after Mass and said, if you have gifts of photography, if you like to write, if you have any graphic design skill, if you like to work with websites, join us at this meeting. We had a room full of people who came, and within that summer, we built them a website. They built, had a blog, created a social media presence. They started using Flocknote, which is a text messaging service. So suddenly, this parish that didn't have many resources or the staff to be able to run everything, suddenly they had a full ministry, and the woman doing their adult faith formation loved it, because she was able to work with them, and the lesson she was sharing with catechists, they were connecting with that on new media, but it was not just one person having to do it. And so two things happened. There was an evangelization component that was new for the parish, and we used the gifts of many people. And then suddenly those people started volunteering in other areas of parish life because they loved how it felt to be part of that community. And I remember one time the priest in one of our meetings, he said, my only hesitation is, if we're building out this digital media ministry, do we lose sight of tech and hold on to?
I let her know we lost her again, so maybe she can disconnect and reconnect. But does anyone have any other comments or questions?
I do.
Yes.
Parents have a hard time catechizing their kids, so I can see that video being sent to the parent and the child, and then give the parent some questions and some background, how they might dovetail that guy's story into how is he living the mission of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So you're using the media, you're both sharing in the technology, something they understand, but arming the parent with something where you can take that story, instead of, and not just a nice story, but taking it back to what Jesus is trying to teach us.
So while you were gone, we had one comment about how videos like that might be a good conversation starter between parents of young people, and using that to sort of connect about, have a conversation through like that more accessible channel of Matt, the veteran, to talk about building community and doing good in the world.
I do see that often, that in your work in your parishes, the ability for parents to play a formation role in the lives of their young people, or do you see that parents are more struggling?
I think they're struggling. Mm-hmm. So any bit of help you can do along those lines, I don't see it so much as merit as just a standalone video. You know, it needs some context, and it would sure be helpful, I think, to parents to be able to arm themselves with some social media like that and be a conversation starter with their child.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, someone recently just told me that. She said, I started watching your videos to better understand my son.
Right.
And she said that really helped her. And then she said, I also then found the courage to share some videos with him. And I didn't, she said, I didn't share it publicly, but I would just text him a video. And I thought, that's the modern day Saint Monica, right? Like, and she said, I was praying for him every second. And I think that's what, if you can encourage the parents that you work with to watch things, like have them sign up for the Brattle newsletter. It will give them insight into what young people are discussing. But it also encourage them just to like privately keep sharing some content. Most people think that young people don't want to hear from their parents, but I think that there honestly is this desire to find things from their parents that actually relate to them. And I think when we give them that type of content, people are more receptive than we actually think.
I'm just a little curious. You were about to say something about, I don't know if it was a priest or a lay minister, but someone who had one concern only.
Yes.
And then you cut out, but I wanted to hear what that concern was.
Sure. So his concern was, if the parish was going to engage in this idea of building a digital media ministry, which kind of, in one sense, he felt like, is the parish priest losing the power to protect the truth by equipping other people to do so? And I sat and I paused for a moment and I thought, that is a very real and valid concern. But if you think about what we, it's like the bulletin. Not every announcement in the bulletin gets printed, right? The parish has a process for gathering that information. And so just because someone thinks that might be good, there's still someone who's looking at that content to be sure that it is safe and that it's in line how the church wants to communicate, especially that your particular parish. So I said, I understand your concern, Father, but we could do one simple tool that is absolutely free, so at no cost to the parish, that will enable you to inspire young people to think about the content, but then have someone who's trained on your staff. In that case, he used his director of adult and children's faith formation to review the content. And all it was, that one tool, was the use of an Excel document. And I said, we built out a schedule where we said what day they wanted to post the material, the theme by which they were wanting to share. So something like the saint of the day, the feast days, what was happening in the life of the church, and then their suggested content. And then that person, their adult faith formation person, got to review the content. Once she approved it, they took care of everything else. So again, the truth was protected, but people were empowered and able to use their gifts and to support the parish at the same time. How does that resonate? Does that kind of seem doable to you guys in your parish level?
Yeah, we do it to some extent. Yeah, yes.
What would be some other challenges? What are some of the challenges that you see in equipping young people or building out a ministry on your parish to share digital media content?
Well, here's a I'm a family physician, and so I know that if you look at time spent in digital media, young people all across the board, there's a direct correlation between the amount of time spent and depression, emotional disturbance, and suicide. Now, that's not necessarily true just for digital media usage or social media. That is, for those people who continue to be involved in active human relationships, I mean direct face-to-face relationships, you don't see that occur. So what I think is that, and this isn't what you're saying with this media, that is, for those who end up using digital media primarily as their means of their faith experience, they may be headed for trouble. But for those who use it as an adjunct while you still maintain the human side of the ministry, which then offers you the opportunity for correction, then it's useful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think, and that's where the church, we have the responsibility to, by our very presence online, do things differently, engage in it differently, and we have to be the ones to set that example. Because it is true. Emily and I were just reading a report that said, people watch 6 hours of video a day. Whether that is through TV, recorded TV, YouTube, like we're constantly addicted to our screens and technology. And what happens is in those places, people are looking for perfection. People are aching for more and more, and we get further away from God. But by the church being present and how we share content, it's absolutely a way to kind of start changing people's behaviors online. And so, you know, with Grotto, when you decide to use it on your parish or in your programs and ministries, we have often content that will actually tell people, put your phone down, like have a digital fast today. Do something good for someone else. So to move from receiving the content digitally to acting differently in person. And when I was at the Archdiocese of Washington, I wanted to model effective use of time spent online and what is the most important thing we could do as individuals. And I believe that was enter into prayer life. So the very first thing in the morning that was posted was a line from morning prayer. And it was just a line from Liturgy of the Hours. So equipping people to pray with the rhythm of the church. The very last thing we did was posted something from evening prayer. And that, and we never posted anything between those posts because we wanted to mirror the idea of the most important way to start your day is to thank God for the gift of the new day and to thank Him at the end. And so kind of modeling that behavior is really, truly important. And so, and the thing with also giving you that example is there's so much beautiful content that we already have online to engage with young people that we don't have to reinvent the wheel ourselves. I didn't make up those prayers every day. I borrowed it from the beauty of the church. You know, some people, the artwork in your churches, in your communities, it's beautiful. Lift that up. That allows people to engage with a sense of a local community and what they know to be real, to be part of their natural experience.
Sarah, is there a mindfulness that people, especially on social media, when they see something that forms them, whatever that might be, if that's the only product that profile is giving them, they're going to eventually mute it, block it, or just it becomes a background. Is there any intentionality to being a person as well, their direction towards other ministers to be, you're asking these people to show themselves a very intimate side of them while never showing an intimate side of yourself is kind of a one-way street that in social media culture, it seems like at least in the high school area, people will block you if it's just one-sided. Have you guys had any mindfulness towards that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really important to, especially young people, number one, distrust institutions. That's one of the number one reasons people say they disengage with the church, right? They distrust institutions. They want to believe in a person and connect with a person. And so kind of our approach is, yes, like when we're sharing content to also, if somebody writes a comment back on our social media Instagram page, that Emily is instantly right there liking that or thanking them for commenting. So somehow there's this sense that there's a connection, a person who is saying thank you to them. Even though it's digitally, there's some type of like human connection. And we know that, you know, Jesus didn't call us into a personal relationship with our mobile devices. He called us into relationship with himself as a person. We're just trying to use that tool to get them connected to Jesus as the person. But I think we have to try and engage with the new media to make that real relationship come to life.
Can I ask you, Sarah, when it comes to different social media platforms, each platform sort of has its own vernacular, in a way that people communicate. So it's not like we can just go into Twitter and just sort of communicate our message in our way. Actually, like, people go to Twitter because they want to communicate sarcastically or superlatively. Like Facebook Live events and things like that. How do we help to form a dialogue or a style of communication when that style is sort of already predetermined? Like, I don't get on Facebook now, and this is no offense, but mostly Facebook is for older people, right? I don't know if my question's very clear. How do we help to form the content in a place where the content is sort of like already predetermined?
Yeah. No, I think you ask a really good question. But let me challenge you in this way. Sometimes I like to say, even though the platforms are a certain way, I think it's most important that you engage as your authentic self. Because someone may not, even if, you know, mention the thing like sarcastic on Twitter. Well, guess what? Some people may be sarcastic, others may not be. What young people could sniff out in an instant is when people are being fake. Even if they don't agree with you, they want authenticity. Authenticity is the absolute most important way. And so I say you have to be most authentically yourself online, and that's going to relate to young people. And I want to be respectful of your time. Are you guys moving into another workshop, or do we have a couple more minutes? How are you feeling?
Yeah, we're out of our time. We're into our break, so we should.
Okay. The one thing, Emily, with her laptop, we'll be able to collect your names and emails if you want to receive some of the videos that we sent, and just I'd be happy to share some resources with you. If you want to get the Bravo Network weekly newsletter, just sign up on her computer, and we'll be able to send you some helpful resources.
Thank you, Sarah.
It's hard, and the work that we are trying to do in terms to bring people back to the faith. But I just see so many of my friends who are struggling so richly and intensely, and I know, just like everyone else sitting in this room together, that we believe that the faith is the answer, that Jesus Christ is going to, you know, settle all those hungers that are in our soul. And we just have to do whatever we can creatively to reach people and not be afraid to make mistakes. And so I just encourage you, you know, even with Bravo, like sometimes we may make a mistake, but we're trying everything we can to be radically bold for the Lord. And we want you, if our content is helpful to you, we want you to be able to use that. And just know there's a Bravo on campus, and I go there every single day before I leave for the day. And I light a candle for our young people and all the people who are working, trying to walk with our young people. So when I'm back on campus, the next time I'm at the Bravo, like, your team in general will be the people that I pray for. So just know that there are young people who are praying for you and are grateful for all the work you do to try to walk with our generation. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye-bye. Bye.